Welcome. This is the Lowdown.
Woke up quick at about noon.
Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
The Lowdown. With Damian Barley.
You realize this is our radio show,
yeah,
right?
Jason Ross.
But they just need to get it right.
And Ken Rudolph.
My honest answer would be something that's probably going to be offensive.
The Lowdown.
Afternoon, gentlemen.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light. With great beer comes great responsibility. The Lowdown.
You mad, bro?
You mad, bro?
Knowing nothing in life but to be legit.
Now.
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't sick.
This is The Lowdown.
Happy Monday and welcome to the show. We thank you so much for tuning in. Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, my name is Damian Barling. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. We want to hear your best and worst of the weekend here throughout this first hour. You can get us on the phone lines, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. The Raptors closed out the Miami Heat.
Hey!
Thank God the series is over.
Yeah.
They punished us with seven full games. And, of course, the seventh game was just an absolute disaster to watch. Mm-hmm. Massive blowout. And I don't know really what we have to look forward to in terms of the Eastern Conference Finals.
It seems one-sided, but Toronto's kind of found a way so far, right? Needing all seven games both times, but see if they give them a game, a series, I mean.
And if their backcourt is awake now and ready to rock, yeah. And those guys got off to a horrible start in that series, and they finally picked it up game six and seven. If they're ready to go...
That's their chance.
That is their chance.
Yeah.
That is their only chance, because what's they got? Bismack Biyombo is not going to be enough for them in the middle. He's not going to be enough, right?
He's filled in nicely against the depleted Miami Heat team. But there's nothing depleted about Cleveland right now.
No.
They're rolling. And they've been off for a long, long time. So if they're going to win, if they're going to get a game, they need to set the pace and they need to do it tomorrow.
Yes.
They need to get that first game. As you heard Matt George say during the update, got a game one tonight. Jason Ross going to be there doing a little work for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah.
Conference Finals. Excited for this one?
I am. I think it's, the Warriors are the favorite. They should be the favorite. If there's an avenue, it's Ken's guy, Russell Westbrook, right? I mean, honestly, I think he has to have a monster series. If he does, what would that look like? If he is great and Durant is great, why would it not be a good series?
That's a good question. Yeah.
I don't know if they could beat him, but I would think that would be a good... If those two guys play high-level, all-star-type basketball, I think we got something good.
I think this is the kind of series where that the crunch time stats that I'm always harping on with Russell Westbrook are really going to come into play, because if you've seen, even when Portland gave the Warriors a bit of a challenge, the Warriors execute better than everyone else crunch time. They don't seem to make mistakes. They don't have turnovers. They get a shot. It may not go in, but they get a shot off. When other teams are struggling in that last 4 or 5 minutes of the half or the quarter, to get their offense going. So we'll see what Mr. Westbrook can do in the crunch time, last 5 minutes of the quarter.
Well, I'll one up you here and say Westbrook on the defensive end against Curry, because Westbrook likes to gamble, right? He's a high risk, high reward guy. He wants to go after passes. You can't do that against Steph. You can't do that against Golden State in general.
You make
one little slip up, suddenly it's 4-on-5 because he made a gamble for that pass. You're dead.
And it's demoralizing in two ways, because you miss out on getting that turnover and then they hit a three. So it just means so much more. And in that building, it's even more demoralizing when they start hitting threes on you. Next thing you know, you're down by nine. What happened? Wait a minute, we were just down by one. What happened?
Yeah. Jabari Davis at BasketballInsiders.com. He's going to join us at the bottom half of this first hour. We'll talk about the conference finals with him. Some NBA coaching news that we'll discuss here in the first hour. The Pacers found their man, but he was there all along.
Mm-hmm.
Your guy, Nate McMillan, we'll talk about that. Phil Jackson's doing some work.
Oh, he came
Uncle
back
Phil.
From, he came back from vacation. He's doing some work.
Uncle Phil came back. He's doing a little bit of work. He's interviewing some people. We'll talk about that. Run those candidates down. There's no chance this show is going by without us talking about that punch.
Oh, you mean in the UFC fight over the weekend?
No, Bautista's shot to the jaw was better than anything that happened on that UFC card.
Yeah, Rougned Odor laid it on him, but we'll talk about that.
What a shot. Willie Cauley-Stein will be representing the Sacramento Kings, by the
Big
way.
Willie.
Draft lottery. Draft lottery is tomorrow. First step. Everything starts falling into place right there. I think the draft lottery, we'll find out where
Because King could possibly drop out. I mean, there's a small percentage.
A tiny
percentage they could lose their number eight spot, right?
Yeah. To go backwards, yeah, really small percentage.
But what's interesting, because the percentage is so small,
yeah,
I think the Kings will be just fine. What happens to the Lakers? Do the Lakers lose their spot completely? Does Philadelphia flip with anybody? Where are all of Boston's picks going to wind up when this thing is all said and done? And what are they going to do with them?
Yeah, a lot of moving parts for the lottery.
And then after reading what Jason Jones wrote over the weekend, I'm like, oh, there are some draft picks that might be able to help the Kings. Mm-hmm. I did not realize. Like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Because I was all for, like, don't even use the pick. Give it away. What do you care?
Yeah.
Give it to somebody who needs it. But apparently there's a way that the Kings could possibly use it and be helpful in the immediate future.
A's and Giants had a pretty good weekend. We'll run that down for you again. Best and worst of the weekend, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I'll give you my worst right off the bat.
All right.
Marcus Thompson was going to join us today at 2. We were texting last night saying they were doing some videos. He knew today would be really hectic because game one is today. They got a lot of playoff stuff that they have to do. He's like, hey, can we reschedule for Tuesday?
Mm-hmm.
No problem. Tuesday, 2 o'clock. Locked in. Marcus Thompson will be here. I forget that I have the phone out, and I'm sitting outside, and I stand up. Phone does a flip, lands face first on the concrete.
Smash?
Million pieces.
No, oh, no. Bloody no.
Million pieces.
No.
No cover, no guard, no nothing? Did it matter?
My cover is so trash. Oh. It's like a magnetic cover that's supposed to go to the wild. I need a new cover. All bad. That's my worst of the weekend right there.
Yeah, that's a topper right there.
And it's not even close.
That's a topper.
Yeah. Is it functional or just?
It works, yeah. But like that's why I didn't text you guys much this morning. I text you, I cut my finger because the screen's all shattered. You got a best and worst of the weekend?
I do.
What do you got?
One of the things, the best, I know Matt played it, the highlight in the update, but how about Danny Valencia from the A's? So not only his three homers yesterday, he hadn't had a homer all season. Then he hit two on Friday. So over the weekend, he hits five home runs, but he hits three in a game. He hits the decider as well last night or yesterday in the ninth. So I think Danny Valencia, that was for a team that's had kind of a tough start, and he's a guy that's been a journeyman, bounced around a little bit from the Twins to the A's, but that's having a weekend.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
He had no home runs going into this weekend series.
In 5 in 3 days.
And now he has 5.
Yeah.
And his whole season total.
You think?
In one weekend. Yeah.
Well,
that's a good weekend,
know.
Though. He makes my best.
That's a nice way to turn things around, that's for sure.
They might play the Rays again. He collect,
we'll
more.
See him again. Sure.
Yeah, get five more, get up to 10 or something.
Because that's who's just giving him up.
He just came off the DL, too.
Yeah.
And here he is.
Bonus.
Because we're talking
about his Valencia
A's
jersey.
Knucklehead.
He can't help himself.
My best would be on the also staying in the Bay Area. My best is going to be a collective and one individual. My best is going to be the starting Giants, the San Francisco Giants starting rotation.
They had a good week.
Last five games, 1.56 ERA for the starting pitchers, capped off by Matt Cain yesterday. I do believe 7 innings, 2 hits, 0 earned runs. And then before that, you had Peavy going out there. Then he gave up 1 earned run, another solid outing. And we were just talking about this the other day, about how Boch trusts his veterans, and it takes them a minute, but then they finally turn it around, and boom, after we say it, they turn the corner, and the starting rotation really starts to put forth some great outings.
Poor Kane, because it's two great outings in a row and no wins.
He can't get a win out of it.
But he's pitched great.
Yeah, and they won. But
5 strikeouts yesterday to go along with all that. That's got to be maddening.
Yeah.
To go out there and pitch as well as he has in his last two outings, and because he's technically, what is he, 0-4?
0-4, 0-5 maybe even. Yeah, whatever. He still does not have a win, yes.
It might be maddening for him, but on the flip side, his team's like, hey, we've been carrying you for the past year and a half.
Yeah.
Thank you for finally showing up and pitching like we know you can pitch. We're paying you $20 million to pitch this way. We'll get you a win.
Yeah.
We'll get you a win. You just keep pitching this way.
At some point.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get it to you.
Won't need to rush things.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Just hang on.
You finally pitching like you're supposed to be pitching, that's number one.
Yeah, the
number
sport's weird. It does even itself out. Like, you can pitch the gems and get no reward. Then you have a game where you give up like 6 runs, but your team gets 10 and you win. You're like, well, I'll take that.
Yeah, exactly.
Giants spent a few weeks lingering around 500. They're 22-18 now.
Yeah.
Starting to see some teams get it together a little bit, where opposite side of the spectrum, the Oakland A's, they kind of went in the other direction. I think they're actually, am I wrong? They're 16-22. Mm-hmm.
Don't worry, though. We're going to give the Giants some help.
Who?
We, as in the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim.
Oh, are you? Oh,
them Trout?
Orange County?
Yeah. Just swept the Mariners. Now getting ready to go in here and sweep the Dodgers to give the Giants a little more breathing room at the top of the NL West. You're welcome.
Going to sweep the Dodgers, huh?
Yes.
You're not confident in that at all.
No.
I was going to say, aren't you facing Kershaw somewhere in there?
See, I'm not looking you directly in the eye as I say that.
I see that. You mentioned the A's a second ago and Valencia, his home runs. That was done in the ninth.
Yeah.
The A's were 0-20 when trailing after eight. Mm. That is their first ninth inning comeback all year.
Wow.
They needed it.
And they were kind of – that's kind of been their thing.
In the past, the walk-offs and the pies, yeah.
The walk-off and the pies. I swear, baseball.
It's a silly little game. It's
ridiculous. Baseball is absurd.
I can't think of any reference.
And it was highlighted by that nonsense we saw last night.
Yeah.
Although it was a hell of a point. It's a great video. If I ask you right now, best Instagram video, best short clip video, that punch or the bat flip that led to the punch?
Well, the punch, obviously.
Punch.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen
bat
flips.
Are we forgetting how epic Batista's bat flip was last year?
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know how many brawls, I say brawls in air quotes, that we've seen where it swings and, like, people, I mean, they were, like, flailing. I mean, that was a punch.
We haven't seen anything this good since Nolan Ryan had Robin Ventura in a headlock and was noogieing him.
Batista was genuinely shocked that he got punched.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, hey, what the hell? We don't do this.
Yeah.
We were supposed to pretend like we were going to fight.
But he should have looked at Rougned Odor's resume, because there's a fight from him in the minor leagues. The exact same thing. He walks up to the guy, pushes him with both hands in the chest, and then comes through with the right.
Got him again?
Yeah, exactly the same thing. The exact same thing.
Dana White's on line one there for Odor. 339-1140, 1-800-912-1140. More best and worst of the weekend and an update for the NBA coaching vacancies next. Welcome back to the show, The Lowdown. Jason Ross. You know, Jason, someone this morning, apparently on this radio station here, was talking about your birthday.
They were?
Jay Ross is having a birthday celebration, and people on the text line want to shower you with Gatorade.
Oh, okay. I'll take
that. So happy birthday, Jay Ross.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
No.
Can you,
no,
can,
no, no, no,
you
no.
really should get that stuff
Matt,
approved.
Stop that one right
Turn
now.
That
stop
off.
That right now.
That was me singing.
It makes so much sense.
If you play any birthday song, it will be Stevie Wonder's Happy Birthday to You. If you cannot find that, I will provide you a copy, sir. Unbelievable.
It's 12:17, time to drive safe. But if you're in an accident, visit Gamboas.com for a free online estimate. Jabari Davis of BasketballInsiders.com is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll talk more in depth about the conference finals. The matchups are set now. It's the Raptors and Cavs. And, gosh, they couldn't be any more aesthetically different, right?
Yes.
Like, you're looking at the Eastern Conference, and you're like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I don't know what we're going to get out of that series. But then you look at the West, and it's like, man, you got Curry and Klay and Russ and KD and Draymond and – the coach of the year is there, and there's you got the young rookie coach for Oklahoma City. So many storylines in that one where you look at the East and you're just like, okay, well, LeBron's there again. Let's see what happens.
Well, you could. I mean, obviously it's our job to kind of make mountains out of molehills, so to speak. And if you look at Toronto, yes, obviously it doesn't appear as though they're going to be able to compete with Cleveland. However, there's something to be said for a young team, that has been able to prevail in 2 7-game series. They've had to come down and win Game 7 in back-to-back series, and they came with pretty much their best performances in Game 7 both times. So they're feeling really confident right now, even though you also suspect in the back of their minds they're like, how are we going to beat these dudes?
Yeah.
But they have to be riding high because they're playing than they played all year, and they're still the number 2 seed.
Yeah, and they were pushing Cleveland all year. I don't take much of the regular season, but if I'm Toronto, I try to take the confidence in saying, hey, we beat them 2 out of 3. I know 2 of those wins were in Toronto, but you got to use whatever you can to build yourself up. So if I'm Toronto, I think, yeah, why not? Why can't we do it? I don't think they can, but they should.
Yeah, if they don't, then who will?
Exactly.
So what do you think, 4, 5, 6, 7?
About 5 for me.
5?
Cleveland and 5.
I say 6 because it seems to be really difficult to beat that team in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give them 2 at home. Plus, you know, Drake's going to be over.
Drake chirping in your ear.
Yeah, tripping
and I guarantee
down
you,
up the court. Yeah.
I guarantee you he won't do that to LeBron.
No, he won't.
He will not
do that to LeBron.
I would love it if he did.
Yeah. Oh,
just to see what happens.
Oh, he'd be LeBron turn around and give him one death stare. He'd be scared to death.
I don't even think LeBron would have to look at him. I'm sure that the ball boy or somebody else would come over there before LeBron even had to deal with him, mm-hmm. and they would handle him.
Nate McMillan,
mm-hmm.
named the head coach of the Indiana Pacers. Knicks, Grizzlies, Magic, and Rockets are still available. I know you really like Nate McMillan.
I do.
We kind of thought it was possible he would be the guy who'd get the nod, and then Larry Bird did the speech about them wanting more offense. So I guess in a way it's a little bit surprising.
Yeah, I think Nate's more known at least for his defense. Doesn't mean he can't have offense. The more I read about it, I heard more people talking about how even Larry Bird, in all the great years he was with Boston, actually had different coaches in that run. It didn't seem like it, but he did. He really did have like three or four different coaches. So maybe he's thinking that 4 to 5 year window is about enough. For Vogel, it was 6. And let's get a new voice, because it's a little bit of a strange move, even though McMillan's more than qualified. You're getting rid of Vogel just because and just to try something else.
I never understand the new voice thing.
I don't either.
I never get that.
New players. The players are not there 6 years.
Right.
And I was thinking about sometimes if you're taking a younger coach, less experienced coach, and you're a GM like Larry Bird and you want a particular thing from your offense, I would think, okay, you're taking this younger coach because you can still tell him what you want. Well, Nate McMillan's not that guy.
He's not the younger
coach.
He's
been around a while. He's already had a couple of head coaching stints. He knows what he's doing. But maybe during the course of their discussions, maybe somehow Nate said, hey, if this is what you want, you know, we'll work it out. Talk to me.
Yeah.
Because maybe he wants to have a high-powered offense. And he's never really had that before. So maybe they're going to find a way to work together to get more offense what the boss wants, but yet still maintain the staple defense that Nate McMillan's all about. That's your best-case scenario right there if they can make that happen.
Speaking of Pacers, former Indiana Pacers coach Frank Vogel interviewed with Uncle Phil yesterday for the New York Knicks job.
Don't do it, Frank. Don't do it.
No? Not worth it?
Don't do it.
Even if it's 1 of 30?
Don't do it, Frank.
Why not?
Well,
is it Phil or is it the team?
Both. I mean, if he just did such a great job in Indiana, yet he was still second-guessed by his general manager every step of the way, what do you think the man with 11 rings is going to do when you get there? Especially if you're not going to run the triangle.
Yeah.
And if you are running the triangle, I'm pretty sure Vogel, as smart as he is, may not be as familiar with it. So then you're always going to have to check with Phil. That seems like a horrible, horrible recipe.
Yeah, and if this offseason ends with Vogel without a job, that's really surprising. I think he's really good.
Yeah. Sources say Kenny Smith has been informed he will not be the head coach of the Houston Rockets.
Okay.
He shouldn't be.
I'm just curious, what was that interview like? Like, what did he say? Like, I'm just curious.
See me on TNT?
Yeah, right? Like...
We're going to the Broadcast Hall of Fame.
You see me up there on the big screen?
He came in the room. He wore his 2 rings.
Yeah.
Right? Shook hands with that hand that had the rings on him.
But he doesn't have to do that because he won them with the Rockets.
I know, but he's like, you remember these?
Yeah.
You want to get back to this?
I came up with Gone Fishing. It was my idea.
Right. Yeah. It was me.
Yeah.
That was so weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, whatever. If he's interested, you want to interview him, give him a shot at it, that's fine. I just found it weird.
I think that we as an individual should do a much better job of policing ourselves. It's one thing to say, hey, an opportunity has come up, take advantage of it. Not if you're not prepared for that.
Now, if
you haven't been trying for that.
Now you sound like a baseball player.
What do you mean?
We're going to start policing. We got to police the game ourselves.
No,
that was what that whole fight last night was about.
Sour grapes is what that was. But no, I mean that each individual should police themselves. It's one thing to have the Houston Rockets say, hey, we want you to be our coach, and you being flattered. It's another for you to say, wait a minute, man. I haven't been coaching anybody. I haven't been drawing up any plays. I've just been over here analyzing what's already happened. I'm not ready to coach yet. Like, these guys should know this. Kenny Smith shouldn't have even shown up for that.
Yeah.
You're not ready to coach anybody, man. Come on.
Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Grizzlies, Magic, Rockets, Knicks, all still available. To the best of our knowledge, Frank Vogel's only the second guy Uncle Phil has interviewed. David Blatt was the other one.
And, yeah, I guess he doesn't
And he went on vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess he did.
Okay, wouldn't it be awesome if you hired Kobe Bryant to be the coach? Come on. Come on, man. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be interesting. That'd be fun to watch. Huh. Jabari Davis of Basketball Insiders is going to join us next to break down the conference finals.
The Toronto Raptors' historic run continues. Time expires. History has been made. The Toronto Raptors are going to dance into the Eastern Conference Final against the Cleveland Cavaliers. They win Game 7 at home. It's a final at the Air Canada Center. Toronto, amidst the confetti, takes it. The final 116-89.
And now possibly the least compelling Eastern Conference matchup is set with Toronto and Cleveland. Our very own personal basketball insider, who just happens to be a part of basketballinsiders.com, Jabari Davis, joins us. Jabari, thank you for being with us once again. As far as we put a little bow on that awful series that was Miami and Toronto, was it as simple as Hassan Whiteside going out and Miami having no way of replacing him?
I really do think so, and thanks for having me again. You know, it's always my pleasure. I really do think so. When he was in the series, he was such a difference maker on both sides of the court, especially on the defensive end for Miami, that, you know, once he went down, and obviously when you have no boss there to, you know, in order to replace him, and if I'm not mistaken, McRoberts was even, not broken up or beaten up a little bit. Miami simply didn't have an answer. And also, you know, I have to give credit to Toronto. They finally were able to put it together at least a little bit. You know, like their shooting woes, or at least from their two stars, have been well documented throughout these playoffs. It was good to at least see them be able to put together a couple, or at least a few good games down the stretch of that series. Excuse me.
So, Jabari, with that said, the roadmap's been relatively easy for the Cavs. It's been difficult for Toronto, but they've made it there. How does Toronto then do it in this next round? What would be their path to an upset to beat the Cavs?
Oh, my goodness. That right off the bat, that your guess is as good as mine. I say that, I guess, at least partly joking. The trouble with this matchup is, like, say this were a Cavs team like last year, at least heading into the finals, where it was just kind of the LeBron show. Maybe if that were the case, they could find a way in order to kind of corral him and limit the rest of the Cavs, there in that series. With Kevin Love playing as well as he is, with Kyrie Irving playing as well as he is, and quite frankly, with J.R. Smith all of a sudden returning to his Knicks days and shooting the lights out, or at least, his positive Knicks days and shooting the lights out, I just don't see a way that Toronto's going to have enough in this series in order to match up.
Well, I'll try to give them a reason, Jabari. It seems like this is a young team that's gaining some confidence. And when you're able to win consecutive game sevens to get you to this level, you have to be confident. Also, they've beaten Cleveland a couple times in their building, and it seems like it's really hard to beat them at home in Toronto. You think maybe they could steal two at home?
You know, I certainly wouldn't say no. I'm not going to say, like, oh, there's just absolutely no chance. I would say this. I expect them to get one, or I'd like to see them get one. I'll go from there after that.
Okay.
You're exactly right in terms of the confidence. You're exactly right in terms of when you have a young team playing well and it definitely winning two, consecutive games where they absolutely had to win, you want to give you at least want to go into it with some hope. When I look at this matchup, I still just don't see it. I think Cleveland probably wins it. I'm not going to say they're going to sweep them, but I think they win it in five.
Jabari Davis, basketballinsiders.com, joins the lowdown right now. Game one, the Western Conference Finals is tonight. How much momentum do you think the Thunder have from beating San Antonio three times? And more specifically, do you think it can carry over into playing Golden State?
I'd love to say it will, and I'd love to see it happen. To me, this series is going to be, because look, you pretty much know what you're going to get out of Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. You know what you're going to get out of, Steph and Draymond and Klay obviously on both sides of the ball for the most part. This series to me is going to come down to can OKC, as you mentioned, swing that, continue with that momentum from the rest of their supporting cast. Can they find a way to play Steven Adams and Enes Kanter at the same time against that Golden State lineup? Is Deion Waiters going to continue to have, positive minutes as he has had on both sides of the ball in this series? So I think the momentum will carry over, but it's really going to be a matter of, how will they match up? Will they be able to get away with running that big lineup out there against a Golden State team that we all know is going to spread you out, is going to bomb away from the three-point line?
Jabari, the last series, one of the areas I thought clearly favored the Spurs was coaching. But with that said, I thought Billy Donovan did a fantastic job. How do you think he'll fare? There's a big stage for him, too, in his first conference finals.
That's an excellent point. And I'll go a step further. I thought that was a tremendous mismatch going into that series. And that's no slight to, you know, to Billy Donovan. It was more of just out of respect to, you know, to the work that Greg Popovich has done in these playoffs, you know, at, you know, over this, you know, over his reign with the Spurs. That said, Billy Donovan, you know, I don't want to say he outworked him, but he definitely came up with, you know, with some things that they were unable to, you know, they were unable to overcome. The thing with matching up with, you know, with Golden State, Steve Kerr has a lot, you know, I don't want to say a lot more weapons, but he has a lot more interchangeable weapons at his disposal. So it, you know, it's really going to be a match, you know, a match between those two individuals. Who's going to put, you know, who's going to put the right combination of players out there at the right time enough for, you know, to win this series? I still would favor Golden State. You know, look, you have to respect them. They're the champions. They're, you know, they're running, you know, they're playing well as, you know, at the same time as well. Steph had a couple games at the end of that series in order to get, you know, get his momentum and get his, you know, just his rhythm back. It's going to be a great series. I'm really looking forward to game one here tonight.
Jabari, I'm not sure if you know anything about how much money the NBA has, but do you think the league has enough money to pay viewers to watch the NBA finals if it's OKC versus Toronto? Because I would like $10 if they're going to make me watch
Come
that.
Come on, man. Look, Westbrook, that'd be great. That's great TV. Westbrook in the finals. KD get home for his first ring.
Mm-mm, no. Anybody going to watch that, Jabari?
You know, I'll say this. I'll watch it.
You
may not get the casual fan with that, or as many, you know, casual fans with that matchup. But I could make an argument that that would be at least fun to watch. I'll put it like this: it'd be fun to watch OKC. It'd be fun to see if they can get over the hump and, you know, and kind of, you know, defy all odds, in, especially in a season where they were seen as, you know, they were seen as contenders, but with San Antonio playing so well and with Golden State, they were secondary. You know, they were a secondary thought.
No. You're right.
Now, Bogut is listed as questionable, at least for tonight's game. Does that actually favor Golden State? Because we know they're going to have to go to that so-called death lineup that they have with Draymond and Harrison Barnes and Clay and Steph and Andre Iguodala all on the floor at the same time.
It favors them if that matchup works, you know, favorably for them. You know, if OKC puts in their big lineup and then all of a sudden, you know, Golden State, you know, can't answer it or, you know, isn't able to adjust to it, then you would, if hypothetically speaking, if Bogut's not there, then you would, you know, you would miss him. It would place an awful lot of pressure on Festus Ezeli, you know, to stay out of foul trouble and obviously Draymond in order to, you know, work against a bigger guy. He's done it all year, and chances are they'll fare, you know, at least pretty well against it. But if I, you know, if I'm Golden State, I would at least want Bogut to be there in case that lineup does work well against me.
Jabari, how about the thought before the last series was maybe Durant is out if they lost and lost quickly. Well, now they've won. Any more thoughts on if this series is critical for Durant's future?
I don't think so, and this is coming from a guy that I was having all the fun in the world with exploring, hey, what if he goes here? What if he goes there? It was like the Durant lottery on my timeline on Twitter, you know, over the last few weeks. That, you know, now with the way that they came back in that series and obviously, you know, qualifying for the conference finals, I look at it like this. Is there a chance that he leaves? Yes. I guess if he looks over at Westbrook and says, hey, look, next summer, are you going to go ahead and take off? Then, maybe you take off, or maybe you only sign a one-year deal, you know, back there. But with, you know, like, if you look at the horizon, who's out there that he's going to do, you know, instantly be better than a guaranteed or at least an opportunity to reach the conference finals? You know, so I guess that's a long-winded way to say I probably expect him to leave a lot less than I did at the beginning of these playoffs. But then again, I expected them to go down to the Spurs, so. Yeah. Obviously, things can change.
Exactly. Okay, so, Jabari, we have four teams remaining, and each team, in order to get to this spot where you're in the conference finals, you had to have answered some questions, overcome some adversity. My question to you is, which of the four coaches remaining have done the best job? Coach Casey, Coach Donovan, Coach Lou, or Coach Kerr?
I want to give credit to Coach Casey because he's done a good job. But I honestly think Coach Donovan has done the best job of them all. He matched up against, you know, now look, OKC was better than the Mavericks, but you know that was a very intriguing matchup with a veteran and an NBA champion coach in Rick Carlisle. Then to come up against And even though, yes, the Thunder have Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant, that's nothing to sneeze at all. But I didn't see a lot of people picking them in that series. So, in terms of the path that they've taken, I gotta give a half I gotta nod my cap, or tip my cap to Billy Donovan, because he's done a fantastic job.
That's a good call,
and he's had a lot of growing pains this year. So good for him.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Especially losing Monty Williams earlier in the year, by the way. What about, since we're starting to talk about free agents and some of the other things, what do you know about Chris Bosh and the situation with the Miami Heat?
That's a really interesting situation, because now all of a sudden you're hearing rumblings about, are they specifically just holding him out in order to, so that they can, get his money off of the cap for next year if he's deemed medically unable to play. I don't know all of the specifics there. What I do know is, more than anything, I hope Chris Bosh makes the right personal decision, and is able to make the right personal decision for himself and his family. Basketball aside, obviously, when it comes to a player's health, and when it comes to something that could be so serious, as serious as blood clots in for a professional athlete or anybody for that matter, more than anything, I hope to see him, just make the right decision for himself. I hope it doesn't get ugly in terms of, some of those rumors about whether whether the organization is kind of stonewalling him a little bit. I guess the answer is I don't know all of the particulars. I've heard some of those rumblings as well, but more than anything, I just hope that he makes the right choice for himself.
Jabari, everybody we've had on, we've kind of asked about the Knicks job. Who do you think's the leader? I mean, Rambis is still technically the coach, but is he getting it? Is someone else going to get that job in New York?
Honestly, I don't know. Phil certainly looks like he wants it to be Rambis. There are so many, viable candidates out there. You've heard names like Mark Jackson. I don't think Mike D'Antoni would ever work there, because I don't see, anybody that's familiar with their history knows that Phil and Mike D'Antoni might not necessarily be the best of mixes. If I'm the Knicks, honestly, I would stop going for like a name and try to just build. Honestly, we keep on referring back to the Boston Celtics situation with them bringing in Brad Stevens and just building from the ground up. I'd like to see, if I'm them, I'd like to see them do something like that. But it's the Knicks, so they'll probably go for a name or just settle for Rambis.
Jabari, I'm wondering, we've been talking about this for a couple of weeks now, and are you surprised at all? Because I'm not going to lie, I'm surprised. Are you surprised at all that the Sacramento Kings appear to be, in the span of maybe 5 days, turning everything around and going in the right direction as an organization? Does it appear that way to you, and are you surprised that it was so quick?
It appears that way. I was definitely surprised it was so quick. First of all, I didn't know that Yurger was going to be available, let alone going to get that job. Like, I think he was let go on a Wednesday and then hired on a Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. It was literally that quick of a turnaround. Hey, all I know is this for Sacramento. It's time. It's time. The fans up there deserve it. You guys up there deserve to have some positive and quality stories to talk about, rather than, what's going to be the next thing. When's the next shoe going to drop, or what's going to be the next thing, to be disappointed or embarrassed by. If it happened that quickly and they can turn it around in this one off season, absolutely fantastic. If it takes another couple of years, that's fine. But it's just good to see them on a positive swing, on an upswing for once.
And it's interesting, with Jaeger coming up here to Sacramento, that Grizzlies job is now open, and that, I think, is still a pretty decent job in the Western Conference, isn't it? And we haven't heard a lot about their coaching search yet.
Well, it really depends on what's going to take place with Conley, because, to be honest with you, it's an absolute rebuild if he leaves. Yes, you're going to have Marc Gasol coming back, but Zebo kind of showed his age down the stretch of this season. And really, if you look at that roster, there's not a lot else. Yes, you got some names, and you got some interesting players there, but it's kind of time to push the reset button for them. So it's an organization that has had success over this last 5 to 10 year stretch, and maybe even a little bit before that. But they're kind of working from the ground level up. Especially if Conley decides to seek greener pastures elsewhere.
Sure.
Well, as Damian has told us before, with names like this on your roster, who wouldn't want to coach Matt Barnes, Lance Stevenson, Tony Allen? Who wouldn't want to come coach?
That's a reality show if I've ever seen one. That's Hard Knocks hits the hardwood.
That's such agreeable players. They do whatever the system tells them to.
So if anything, what it tells you is Jaeger is at least prepared to work with some personalities.
Yes.
And there it is. Right there. And that is as big a part of coaching in the NBA as anything, isn't it? Dealing with personalities?
It really is. It's not just an X's and O's thing. Look, yes, we see it as a game, being played on TV or if we're in the stands or whatnot. But, you're dealing with real life adults from all walks of life, all different backgrounds, all different, personalities. And there are certainly easier jobs to do than that.
The draft lottery is tomorrow. Is there any reason we need to pay close attention to this? We believe the Kings their pick's going to fall into place. I know we'll keep an eye on the Lakers and what happens with them. Boston's has a ton of picks, but with the way college basketball is, there's no telling what will come out of an NBA draft. Do we really need to pay close attention to the lottery and the draft, or at least as close as we used to?
Not unless you're a team like as you just mentioned, the Lakers and Philly and some of those other teams that are, their picks are contingent upon, how the balls fall, otherwise, I'm kind of along with you. Otherwise, you just kind of wait, see how things turn out from the draft, pre-draft process. You're going to hear all the different stories about, ooh, this guy's impressing that guy. And it's a fun ride. I'll be guilty of writing some of those stories as well over these next couple of weeks. But, outside of those, those circumstances, it's really not all that much, in my opinion.
Game one tonight. Who you got?
Ooh, Golden State.
Is it close?
I do think it's close. I hope to see OKC come out and ride that momentum and find a way to make this a great series. I'd love to see it go seven. That said, until I see it on the court, until I see them, some of those role players, do the things that they did against the Spurs, until I see them, that big lineup, how it's going to work against this Golden State team, I have to go with what we know. And what we know is Golden State, when healthy, is a juggernaut. So I can't really pick against them until I see otherwise.
And they couldn't be two more dramatically different types of game plans when you're game planning for San Antonio
right. And
when you're game planning for Golden State.
Exactly. There's not another team. Yes, there are other teams that do this, pace and space and, whip the ball around and work from the outside. But with the interchangeable players that Golden State has, with, the incredible skill players that they have as well, there's really no way to simulate that. There's no simulation mode for that. So, what they did against San Antonio, you're exactly right. That means absolutely nothing, in terms of this upcoming series.
Jabari, we appreciate your time, my man.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thanks again for having me.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Jabari Davis, basketballinsiders.com. It seems cut and dry, but it felt cut and dry all year that it was going to be the Spurs and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals, and the fact is, here we are, and it's not. And to take it even up a little further, 14 days ago, it seemed like Miami was going to walk right into Cleveland, and it was going to be the Heat and the Cavs in the Conference Finals, so things can happen.
Yeah, I like in the sense in our Final Four, I call the Thunder new blood. They've been to the Finals once. Toronto hasn't. So I like that we have two new options. It still seems like we're on a course for now, Cleveland and Golden State. But if we're not, that means something pretty interesting happened. And I think for this Thunder series, to make it really interesting, if they could get one of the first two.
Yeah.
I don't even know if they can win the series. But if they got one of the first two, I think we all just have a different tone, knowing that it's 1-1 going home. They look beatable, all those things. So I think if they get one of the first two, it'd at least be fun for us to monitor it.
I'm also thinking about the coaches once again. When you have three of the four coaches, right, have a year and a half of experience or less. Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr, remember, a year and a half. He only coached for half a season this year. Even though everyone's like, oh, he was at practice, he was coaching. Okay, but I'm not going to give him credit for that. A year and a half. Teron Lue has half a season.
Right.
And Billy Donovan has
one,
not even a full season yet.
Yeah.
That's
crazy.
And
those three are in the mix to be fighting for an NBA title. That's amazing. What does that tell you about coaching in the NBA?
Have great players.
Yeah. Is it really?
The best coach.
Right? That makes you the best coach by having a great, great bunch of players.
Ouch. That's
right?
Dude, that's dead
coaching?
On. Yeah. I mean, it really is forgettable that Tyronn Lue has been the coach for like 5.5 minutes.
Yeah.
He took over for a coach who, by the way, didn't do so bad.
No.
And I guess the easiest way to do that, to sum up everything that you just said.
What's that?
LeBron James, just pencil him in for the Eastern Conference Finals, or perhaps just pencil him in as the winner of the Eastern Conference
right.
until he moves to the West.
Yep.
Well, and that's the guys you mentioned, Ken, the smartest guys to me are Kerr because he chose that roster, could have gone to New York.
Exactly.
And then Billy Donovan has been a hot college coach for years, had some other flirted with things. Well, I'll jump on the Westbrook and Durant bandwagon. That was smart.
Yeah.
He got good players and he yep. can coach.
Yeah, you mentioned something strange would have to happen if we didn't get the predicted Golden yeah. State-Cleveland matchup. And it's fun because when Golden State loses, it's exciting.
Yes.
Like you think back to, I mean, they lost one right. game to Portland. It was as exciting as a 4-1 series could really
I
be.
Yeah.
But you think back to the game that Portland won, and Portland shot the lights out. It was something that you watched and go, well, you don't expect them to do that again. And while they did carry over some of that hot shooting a little bit, still, it was exciting.
Yeah.
And so when the Warriors lose, it's exciting.
Yeah, how is that? A 4-1 series is far more exciting than a 7-game series yeah, in the other
true.
Conference.
Right.
Where three of them went to overtime, as you mentioned.
Yeah. Right, and it wasn't even
and
close.
And it wasn't even exciting.
No.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But that's basketball.
We ask the tough questions we want you to answer. You can get at us, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1143, the hard way coming up. It's 12:52, time to drive safe. But if you're in an accident, visit Gamboas.com for a free online estimate. More of the lowdown next.